It's Beamaz and Beamer, News Radio 930 WBEN.
That's right. We are going through Beamaz and Beamer together for almost an entire week now on WBEN.
It's right, a day away.
Love to hear it. Love to hear it, Joe. All right. We got to get, we got so much to cover, Joe.
Oh.
So I don't know if you saw this. Ryan Reynolds had his first colonoscopy. Said doctors actually made a life-saving, potentially life-saving discovery that, you know, discovered a small polyp and got it out there.
That's right, and filmed it.
Yeah, so they filmed it.
Yes.
Now, do you know why? He lost a bet with a friend.
Oh.
This is actually one of the shows I'm, you know, watching, quote-unquote. I've watched, like, two episodes a week and a half ago. But, you know, I'll get to the rest. He, along with Rob McElhenney, they bought a low division soccer team
in Wales, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Welsh team, Wrexham. They were the ones who booed the moment of silence for the Queen.
That's right.
The other day. Not Ryan Reynolds.
No, that's the fans. Team he owns, yes.
No, Wales. Welsh don't really. Anyways, so they had a some sort of bet that the loser had to have their colonoscopy filmed.
They're
both like the same age.
Fair bet.
So
healthy
what's our bet,
bet
going to be?
Yeah.
Which one of us is going to film it, Joe?
Oh.
Just give me the idea. I mean, one of us we have to do this.
Yeah.
What's the bet going to be?
Yeah, what's the game going
to
be?
I don't know. We have to figure it out. Something
okay.
Over a period of time, we'll bet and...
Yeah, I don't think we should rush to this bet.
Because it'll be a while before I need it.
Yes.
So, but just to put the bug in your ear.
I'm all for this bet.
It'll make for a great show someday.
Yeah, Facebook Live.
This was
on tape. Ours will be live.
Yeah. This happened shortly after I went off the air. After we went off the air, actually at 10. But Jazz Brzak, who's been on our program before in the morning, one of the leaders of the labor movement, the union push at Starbucks locally here in Buffalo. Now, Joe, I want to say again, we've talked about this a lot of times here on the show beforehand, the union push in Starbucks. I want to say again, reiterate that, you know, okay, good for you. Like, I am in no way one of these people who would, you know, ever be against somebody trying to do, you know, what's best for them in their profession. You know, if you feel you want to organize, that's the way for it. Go ahead, you know, support you. We'll see how it all plays out. At the end, you have the right to organize. Let's go. But tell me this doesn't sound like a modern, I'm going to sound like such an old person, like a modern, just wants to be viral on whatever TikTok, you know, like that's like the goal of everybody now is like
yes.
Some sort of minor celebrity. Everyone wants to be famous or like is putting their own importance above what
it's all about the clicks.
Is actually she did something that I've done before, changed her scheduling requests with Starbucks. So Starbucks said it was trying to balance. She resigned from Starbucks, by the way. I don't think I mentioned that. So she resigned yesterday. They said that it was just impossible to continue employment. The company has made it impossible. Starbucks said that they tried to balance Brzak's scheduling request with the store's staffing needs. Brzak was originally working around 20 hours a week until May, when she told the store she was only available for 6.5 hours one day a week. So that's, which again, I've done that before to jobs. Like, hey, this is what it would be. Like, I'm available only Thursdays between noon and 6:30. That's the only time I can work. Like, that's, and hey, I gotta say, it's that type of job. I've done it before.
Yes.
I've done it before. Sometimes they say, all right, you know, whatever, we'll see how many hours you get. Other times they say, well, get lost.
Yeah.
And then you go. That's not the, like, wild part of the story to me. The crazy part is somebody who had a job that is one day a week, 6.5 hours, felt that the resignation was so important you had to write a letter and share it with the Associated Press. Like, that's, like, that is, again, the union movement, okay, go for it. Like, that's great for anybody who wants to do what they can, push for a better working environment for themselves, for others. But there is just something about, it's like modern sensibilities of, like, it's this idea of self-importance. Like, we hear this all the time on the internet. People make fun of people for believing, like, they're the main character of the universe. To have a job where you're working 6 hours a week and quitting the job and feeling that, all right, I've quit. The press needs to know about this. Here, send this to the editor, please.
That looks to be more of like a text quit, right? Like, hey, I know I've lowered my hours. The time has come. Writing's on the wall.
Or, I mean, it's one day a week. You just don't show up.
Yeah, I guess.
See, you
don't show up to the one day
again.
That you're, yeah.
That's the real, silent quitting or whatever they're quiet quitting
yeah.
is just never showing up. That would be what quiet quitting real is. But that's what I had. I was when I kind of put the two things together, you know, the story, you can read it over at WBEN.com, starts with a letter to her manager, which Brzak shared with the Associated Press, and then going down and seeing it was one day a week, 6.5 hours. At a coffee shop,
right?
That is the resignation you're sharing with the national media.
Probably more.
It just seems weird to me.
More than a resignation.
Again, supporting the. I have said it many times before. Supporting. Yeah, you got the right to organize. Let's go.
We've done. Yeah, we've done that show. That was one of the more back and forth. You know, we had different opinions on that show.
Yeah, which is nice. You know who else has different opinions?
Uh-oh.
Giselle and Tom Brady.
Do they?
It all comes down to work. Joe, I'm going to do something that I don't like doing.
Uh-oh.
Very, very popular to do in the media. But I try and refrain from it because I don't think it's good. But I'm going to take a stab at it here. And that is to tell you what two people who I've never spoken to before in my life are thinking inside their head.
Okay.
It's a very popular thing to do, right? But
not for you though.
It is, I try to stay away, but I'm going to take a stab at it right now. Giselle and, Tom Brady.
Yes.
If you've been reading the tabloids, you know that there might be trouble in paradise.
Is this getting more tabloid news than the Queen, than the royal family in America?
They are the royal family in America.
There you go. Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned. But basically, the stories, what they're coming down to is, you know, Tom Brady, he retired and then unretired like a week later over the offseason. And the tabloid story is that his wife, Giselle, the supermodel, is very disappointed in that. Now there's trouble in paradise all revolving around this. And she actually gave an interview. And I'm reading this on a website. I don't know where it's Elle Magazine. Okay. Because I said this has been everywhere on the internet. I don't know where the original source is.
You want to give proper credit to the original source?
Elle Magazine. And this is the quote she gave about Brady's decision to come out of retirement. She said, quote, "Obviously, I have my concerns. It's a very violent sport. And I have my children. I'd like him to be more present. I have definitely had those conversations with him over and over again." Tom Brady, he kind of sounds like somebody who's ready to retire in recent interviews he's given.
Yes.
Talking about all the things he's missed. But here's the part where I tell you what everybody is thinking and what their real thing is. So, Dr. Phil, Dr. B-Mass here on WBEN, even though I don't like doing this. To me, this reads as something that I think plays out all across Western New York, where two people have two very different ideas about work and its role in their lives. Now, Giselle, from her quote, this is what I'm getting from her. It's basically her saying, look, we have enough money. You've worked for a long time. You don't have anything left to prove for sure. You don't have to work. Come home and just enjoy yourself. Spend time with the family. Do something like that. Why would you go in and work and grind every day, weekend, when you clearly do not have to?
Right.
You are set for life. I am set for life. The whole family is set for life. Our kids are set for life. We're fine. Why would you continue to push yourself through that? Now you get to the other. Obviously, for Tom Brady, money is not his motivation for working.
Right.
Because if it was, he would have retired a long time ago. He's old for an NFL player. But even with that, I mean, if money was your motivation working, you only need to go buy one contract. If money was your motivation for working, the second you married the supermodel who's richer than you,
you'd retire.
You would be able to retire.
Yeah.
He obviously has another motivation, a strong professional motivation for keeping going, that he values work in his life as something more than just getting paid. And I think, Joe, that that's something that is playing out all across Western New York, not just in relationships, but just kind of amidst everybody on a day-to-day basis. What role does work play in your life? Here you have a relationship where two people, I think, have very different viewpoints of what it should be.
Yes.
I wonder if that's what it's like in your house. Let us know. 803-0930 to join us this morning on WBEN. 803-0930. You can give us a call or send us a text on our Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. But it's a good question about how you view your career or job or whatever it is that you do for work. Is it something that you do to find fulfillment through the job itself? Or is it simply a means to have the money to enjoy the part of your life that you like?
Yeah, I think it can be both, too. It can be something that you enjoy doing, but also helps fund your life.
Well, yeah, but I think if you enjoy doing it, like, give me an example of that, because it's one or the other. Right? Like, if you won the lottery tomorrow, I mean, there's the question, like Mega Millions. If you win Mega Millions, are you showing up to work the next day?
I will still be here the next day, yes. I would quit my second job.
but like,
I would be here. I like what I do. I like the people I work with. I mean, I don't really consider this much of a job. That probably tells you how much I do. But, you know, I love what I do as a job. And if I, you know, luckily had enough money that I could retire, I'm not sure I would. I really enjoy what I do, and I think that's Tom Brady's. He loves what he does. He loves being on the football field, and I think to him, the idea of turning on a TV and seeing a league where he's not part of it is upsetting to him.
I don't think that it has to be that you love what you do. I think it has to do with fulfillment, too. Like, that can be the case, right? If you really enjoy doing your job every day.
Right.
I'm trying to think of what that is. If I, like if you are like the person who stands around an exhibit at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yes.
And like if somebody has a question about this guitar and you love talking about it, that might be something you do even if you have all the money in the world.
That's a good
point.
Like
if you really like it. Like
right.
It's your hobby to keep going. And there is like that part of it. I think there's also like a drive part of it, that you are not happy in life if it, maybe it's not the work itself, the job itself, but it's doing that. It's being pushed by something. It is constantly being at something, trying to accomplish a goal that makes you happy in the end. Not necessarily the workplace or the job, but that feeling that you need to be at work at something rather than, you know, as Giselle would like Tom Brady, chilling out, realizing you don't need to work for the money.
Maybe a sense of worth at your place, or a sense of, like you said, sense of drive. I mean, you have people that retire at a young age or retire right at the age that they retire, and they feel, you know, they go, and they're not Tom Brady, and they go through, you know, 6 months, and they realize, you know, I have nothing to do. My life is boring. I feel like my life has no worth, no direction. They go back to work. You hear of people doing this all the time. Not you really at 65, but people who retire early, and they need something to do. They don't want to just sit around all day. And that's what I mean by sense of worth, you know, having something to do, having somewhere to be where people depend on you.
I see, but I would put a distinction on that. Like, I think that's just being bored. Like, you want to fill up your time with something.
True.
Not necessarily, not everybody is going back because they feel like you have to be doing something that's worth
That's true. That's
anything
true.
To somebody.
Yeah.
I was tying this together, reading something by Derek Thompson. He writes in The Atlantic, and he was saying, you know, career advice he finds is usually trash because it's always like, hey, these are the things I did to be successful. Like, it's way too personal. And he says that no autobiography is a good career blueprint for anybody because everybody is different. But he was sharing what he thought was, you know, maybe a different take at career advice. And one of these things was relating to what we're talking about. He said, you should be ruthlessly honest with yourself about what you value and how much professional success matters to you. And he said something else similar in this, which is don't do the job you want to tell other people you do. Do the job you want to do. And I take that, you know, to mean basically that, like, listen, there are a lot of unglamorous jobs or jobs that are just something you can kind of plug in and plug out. But if your goal at work is to just put food on the table and you don't really care about professional success or advancing in the workplace or anything like that, his argument here is there's nothing wrong with that. It's just you have a different taste in how you view things. And that being said, you should attack a job differently than somebody who's looking to advance, like who wants to have that hunger at work.
Right.
You might get more fulfillment at home than you do at work. There's nothing wrong with that. You're just two different people. Can those people coexist together in the same house? I don't know. Giselle and Tom Brady might be putting that to the test. Mark in Niagara Falls, you're on WBEN. Mark, what's going on?
Well, yeah, let me get off a speakerphone.
That's all right, Mark.
Okay. So here's the thought. You've reached the top of your game at age 77. You're better than anybody in your field, which is kind of a parallel to Tom Brady, who I personally can't stand. However, that being said, think about the loss in the workplace of all of those people that have developed a specific skill and they wish to pass on what they've learned from thousands of other people.
So
you want to pass that on.
I'm going to, you take value in that of almost being now like a mentor teacher type of person in the workplace.
Absolutely.
What do you say to people, Mark, then, who, because I think that that's awesome, but I also think it's perfectly fine if you're the person who says, hey, I've got everything I need out of work, I'm able to retire, and I don't care about what happens to my old workplace after I'm gone. I'm done.
Well, I don't have a problem with that either. I mean, I think it takes a special person to think beyond right now, or beyond next week where I'm going on vacation, or what's my next toy I'm going to buy.
Yeah, there's something to that, Mark. It's two different sets of people. Thank you for the call. Two different sets of people, too. I think that it was like perfectly on display when I was looking at that quote from Mrs. Brady over online the other day. Of she sees it clearly to me as there's no reason to keep doing this.
Right. Work is just for money. And once you've made that money, come home.
Yeah.
Spend time with your family.
She values all those things that are outside the workplace. And obviously, because he was on the field Sunday night, Tom Brady, and it's not just about being on the field. It's about being at practice, doing all these things. Basically, for the whole football season, you're not seeing this guy.
Right.
He values what he's doing for his job, of the challenge that his job faces gives him, more than, and that means more to him, more than what he would get at home. Which, again, if I'm going to put on my relationship hat for a moment, I feel like that's not great for the home life.
No. Do you think these problems resolve, Dr. Bemaz, do you think these problems resolve once he does retire? Or is this the kind of thing that's going to linger because, hey, remember that time you unretired?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, that's what I'm trying to figure out, and I want to know if anyone has good insight in that. Can these two attitudes coexist at home? Like, could you and a spouse have completely different attitudes on that? And maybe you can, and it complements each other. Or if you are both working, one is very, you know, their head is in their work, they're laser focused on that, and the other is that work light turns off the
5 o'clock, boom.
Yeah, and they are walking through the door and they're totally focused, not on what they're doing in the office, but they're focused on what's going on right in front of them. Can that coexist? I don't know. I don't know if that's an easy answer. I want to know if people have any ideas on that. 803-0930 to join us here on WBEN.
It's B-Maz and Beamer. Now Brian Mazurowski and Joe Beamer. News Radio 930 WBEN.
That's right. We are back here. Joe, Roger Federer retired.
Yes, he did. The end of an era, as Roger Federer and Serena Williams have both retired from tennis.
See, I was asking you. I have no idea. Is he like the best tennis player ever?
I mean, when he was playing, he was the best. But you have Novak Djokovic, who has surpassed him in the last few years. Federer has not been playing. You know, he's been injured. He's been recovering. Djokovic and Nadal, who are 5 or 6 years younger, they've already passed him in Grand Slams. But I'll tell you this, Roger Federer was so much fun to watch in the early to mid-2000s. And he and Serena were such a gift to tennis.
What about Sampras? Is that just old news?
I mean, for his time, was a great tennis player. Won 14 Grand Slams, which at the time was a huge number.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that means that we're seeing such better tennis players, or is the rest of the field just that bad that you have guys easily getting 22, 23 Grand
Slams?
Don't
ask me, Joe. Don't ask. I found myself in a you situation yesterday where, like, you yesterday asked me, or you said, you know, who is the starting pitcher for the Syracuse Mets yesterday or whatever. And I'm just like, what are you even talking about? And I'm like, yesterday I was like you, all I wanted to talk about is like, did you see Erling Haaland's goal in the Champions League? Like, it was this most amazing thing, but like knowing nobody cares.
Right. Yeah.
I was like, do you see that? Hey, did you see the uniforms the U.S. will be wearing in the World Cup? Like, no one did.
You got the look you always give me in the summer when I bring up, hey, did you see what the Mets did last night?
It's not like I was like, oh, this is the moment here. Sampras is good. You know, people will be, you know, they'll tweet something at him, right? It won't be anything like the Queen. The Queen, does it say something about our society, Joe, that, you know, the Queen has passed? The Queen is dead. And people are lining up for blocks and blocks along streets in London, waiting 8 hours just to walk by her coffin. Six-sider.
It's amazing. Yeah.
By the way, a coffin, not a casket. Well, maybe a casket is all-encompassing. I'm not sure, but it's a six-sided coffin. They're waiting hours to walk by and do that. Does it say something about our society here in the U.S.? I can't think of a single person. You know, we had this discussion about the Queen. I can't think of a single person who people would do that for here. But people would absolutely do that all over the country for a PlayStation.
Yes. Yeah. Like, the new PlayStation, the new Xbox.
It's like a Star Wars movie comes out. They'll wait 8 hours. So like, any death at all, nobody is.
No, I mean, it just shows the absolute respect people had for Queen Elizabeth. I wish there was a live camera. I was going to ask you this earlier.
There is.
On the casket, you can watch the people.
Yeah.
I got to find this camera.
Yeah. But like, it's no one, it's 8 hours and it's just constantly moving. No one's stopping. It's just there. It's like they're on a conveyor belt. Like, you don't stop by it.
No one's taking a selfie with the casket?
No. So that's amazing that it's like 8 hours and you can just.
I wonder if anyone from America, and I don't mean politicians, I don't mean the president, if anyone from America was moved so much to fly over there and stand in that
line. I did
line.
See a photo of somebody in a Bill shirt being interviewed.
Are you serious?
Outside. Yes. Of I'm course. One of the national, of I don't know what station was on, but definitely. People, millions from across the world are going to London right now. It's why they need to all their police and everything.
My aunt and uncle are there on a previously planned trip, but they were talking about the things that have been canceled because, as we've been talking about, you know, the mourning continues in England. I wonder if, since some of the events have been canceled, they got themselves in line. I'll have to ask them when they get back.
Got 8 hours to... I mean, that's
you might.
Nothing else to do. Anyways, we've been talking about the workplace here on WBEN. 803-0930 to join us. Either give us a call, send us a text on our Volkswagen of Orchard Park text board. And how you view your work-life balance. It's funny. We were talking about this because of what I saw from Giselle, Mrs. Brady. Giselle, the supermodel, married to Tom Brady, who... the tabloids say there's trouble in paradise because Tom Brady went back to work.
Yes.
And the whole thing, she's giving interviews with some of these tabloids, and it sounds like her position is that to my husband, why are you continuing to work and pour yourself into your job? And it doesn't even matter that it's as an NFL quarterback. Why are you continuing to do this if we have enough money for the rest of our lives? Like, you don't have any financial reason to work. Come back home. And it seems like Tom Brady has the opposite. Even though there's no financial desire to work.
There are things left to prove.
There's something about the job that keeps him going back. Now, I don't know what that is. I don't know if it's just the enjoyment day to day of that, like, focus and grind and pushing yourself. I don't know if there's a desire to be known as, like, the greatest of all time, no doubt, like, have to go back and win one more Super Bowl. I don't know what that desire is, but obviously it's not the monetary desire.
Could it be just to feel younger? Could that be a thing? I'm 45, playing in the NFL with...
You can't imagine yourself as somebody under 50, retired?
Maybe that's it. You know? I mean, he's 4 years older than Roger, who just retired 30 minutes ago.
He's older than Federer?
Yes. By 4 years, yeah.
I thought Federer was old.
Yeah, well...
He's been around for forever.
Right, exactly.
But
that's something I was thinking of during the break. Maybe it's something that we haven't hit on. It's just feeling younger. The importance of feeling younger. And when he's on the field, he doesn't feel like the old man because, hey, he is still competing at a high level in the NFL and one of the most demanding sports out there.
I feel like it's a tough question for a lot of people to answer. And I think that's... exemplified by something we just got in our inbox a few minutes ago, a July survey by an online job site, FlexJobs, found that nearly two-thirds of respondents would take a pay cut to improve their work-life balance.
Oh.
Which, you look at that on the surface and you think, I could see that. That might make sense. I don't think a lot of people have that option. To me, those are confused people. Because if you're in the situation, right, where you're going to take a pay cut to spend less time at work, like, you already had that option, didn't you?
Yeah.
You could have not advanced or have had a less demanding role at work that would have paid less money, but would have also given you that opportunity to turn it off, much more easier than you might have now. If you're saying that my work-life balance is so out of whack, I spend too much time at work, I would take less money to do that. I mean, anyone who's saying that, you could probably walk into your boss's office right now and say,
I want a demotion.
Yeah. Can you please demote me, right? Am I crazy on that?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, again, I can't relate to people who say that they spend too much time at work, that they're overworked. I mean, we're out of here pretty early, Brian.
We're in here pretty early.
That's true. I'm just saying, I can't relate to that.
My neighbors yesterday were going out as I was going to bed.
Yeah, I got an important work text after I'd fallen asleep. That's how early our days are. But, that would be the thing if you've... And I think that's the opposite of Tom Brady, right? That's someone who's worked their way to an important position and find it too demanding. Tom Brady's like, "What? This isn't demanding enough. I need to stay and show how superior I am." You're talking about people who say, "I didn't want all this work. I'll go back.
Yeah.
Put me in the cubicle. Get me out of the office. I'll go back."
People thrive off of a high-pressure, demanding environment.
Yeah.
For some people, that is it. Like, that is fulfillment. But it's not for everybody. And, you know, going back to an article that I was bringing up before, you have to be honest with yourself about what you value. If professional success matters to you, and it's not like one side is right over the other.
No.
It's just a matter of figuring out where you stand, and being stuck in the middle is a very difficult situation. Whether that's you're personally stuck in the middle, you don't know quite where you fit in this. You don't know if you want to keep advancing in the workplace, if you want to put in long hours, or if you'd rather just be content with where you are and with that, with the pay that you have. Or maybe it's between two spouses. One is looking at work one way, the other has the opposite opinion.
Yeah, and you know, obviously, Giselle gave an interview. Didn't really go in depth with the whole thing. I mean, you know where she feels, but you also wonder if she feels, you know, 10 years from now, how will Tom Brady's children look back, saying, "Oh, you decided to go back to work, do all this, and spend less time with us." Maybe that's another one of her fears. I don't know. Again, that's out of my my range of knowledge.
I like, again, somebody texted in to 803-0930. There's a big difference between a job and a career.
Yes.
Leaving a career after a lifetime of effort is a difficult thing for some people. Leaving a job is easy to walk away from.
That's a good point.
So you think that's, I think it's, you're kind of, a job and a career is a label that you put on something.
Right, but there
in
are,
my eyes.
There are people who will say that they have a career. They have something that they've aspired to do, and they will become the best at it. You have other people, I think, in 2022, maybe even a majority of people, who have a job. This is what...
Right, but there, what the attitude behind the person who texted that in is making the difference between jobs and careers. Right. So, where, like, somebody who works at, you know, we were talking about Starbucks the other day, like, yes. A lot of time people would say that's a job. And if you work at an office at some big company, now you have a career. I don't think that's it. I think you can be a CEO with a job.
I completely agree. But I think there are people. Tom Brady's career has been his life. Right. I think the Texas point is, or is at least that's how I read it. Tom Brady's career has been his life for as long as he's known, right? Is being a football player, Pee Wee, high school, college, professionals. That's been his career. And he has become one of the, you know, iconic, legendary figures in his career, as much as that pains us to say. I think if someone works a job like that, something they've always wanted to do, something they've put their heart into, that's a career. Right. A CEO, they knew someone in high places and they worked their way up there. That's just a job. They don't care if they leave tomorrow. It hasn't been something that they've put their heart into. They're there. That's a job. I think that's the difference. A job is something that, hey, I have to be here. I need the paycheck. A career, yes, it starts off like that, but I think it becomes something that is part of your life, something that you love, and something that it is more difficult to walk away from, something that you have put so much of your time, effort, and life into.
But I think that can span... whatever. Putting effort and time, you can put effort and time into anything and have that example, right? The way that's described so often is like a clear line between jobs and careers. And people look at it differently. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You have people who are trying to organize at Starbucks and other restaurants who will say that I want this to be my career.
Right.
And that's a mindset. And that's not, there's a right way or a wrong way to look at it. That is their mindset toward that job. There's a lot of people who look at that as just a job. You go into a big company, you have people who can be sitting right next to each other doing the exact same job. For one person, it's their job, which doesn't mean you're putting less effort into it or that it was any harder for you to get to that part, but it is kind of your personal taste as to whether or not that's a job or a career that you are making kind of more of a part of you than something else in your life.
Yeah, that's more on you than the job description. Yeah, the job description, like you said, two people can view what they're doing completely different.
Kathy in South Buffalo, you're on WBEN. All right, Kathy, what do you think? Can people who have different mindsets coexist?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But Tom Brady is like a, like, did you ever watch Freddie Mercury when he's on stage, when he was on stage, and the crowd would applaud? He just glowed. And Tom Brady runs onto the field with a ear-to-ear smile. I mean, he's a wonderful player. He really is. He's the best. But Josh Allen is good, or almost as good. And he comes on the field, he smiles a little, and then he becomes serious. But Brady, like, is, look at me, look at me, look at me, I'm wonderful. And he's like, he turns you off after a while.
Kathy, I appreciate the call, and you're hitting, I don't know if, it would take me a long time to decipher between the two, if there really is a difference between their pregame smiles. But it does hit on the point that we were mentioning earlier. It's from, you know, that same Atlantic article where it, one of the career advices, pieces of advice that he gave was, don't do the job you want to tell other people you do. Do the job you want to do. And I do think that plays into some of this just a little bit.
Ego?
Where it's an ego thing, or it might be like it's not that far off from when we talk about student loans, about how it's something you've been told all your life. How many people are told all their lives that, oh, you don't want to be the garbage man? Right? But I mean, how many people out there would be perfectly happy being a garbage man?
Yeah.
Pays good.
I was just going to say.
Good hours.
Good
paying great
job.
Benefits.
Yeah.
Get holidays off.
Weekends off.
It's there's a lot of people out there who would prefer to do anything with their hands when you're in motion, and that is happiness at work.
Yeah.
To just like be doing something, you're able to kind of get lost in what you're doing, you can do it, and then go home at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of like part of this sentiment that, you know, so many people are told off by that, or you want to do something that's big and impressive, you can say, you know, in front of a big group of people, like, well, I'm the, I don't know. What jobs do people have? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm the CEH of the, you know what I mean? But you want to have some sort of title or, you know, some big important sounding job. And I think the people who are maybe best off and are happiest are the ones who realize that, listen, I need to do what's best for me, and it doesn't really matter what other people think about it.
Right. And by the way, garbage man can also work their way up. That can be a career. You know, talking about that mindset again. Some people might view that as just a job, but you can work your way up within the department.
Yeah, but you can have a career of, you know, just you could stay in the same place your entire time, have a career if that's
what you want to do.
Perfectly.
It's all on you.
Happy about it, and it pays the bills, and that's all you're looking for. I mean, I don't think that's a bad mindset. I like the idea of being a garbage man. I could never be the steamroller or anyone who works in a highway crew that lays down blacktop.
No.
Or seals pavement or anything like that.
No.
The smell is just, I can, if I'm out running, I can smell it from a mile away.
Yeah, I'm just, I'm not.
Gives me a headache.
I'm like, not good instantly. At stuff like that. Like, I would screw up the job instantly.
The job part, I think, is not bad.
Yeah, you can do the job.
The conditions of the job.
Yeah.
Like, the smell, I mean, the heat and stuff that you're out there, it's like hot and crazy. But the smell, more than anything, I wouldn't be able to handle.
No, I get that.
I just, you know, it's one job I think I could never do. I would never be a crocodile hunter.
No.
I would never be a person who lays down the blacktop.
Beside that, give me a call.
Yeah. Feeding the stingrays at the aquarium, no.
Really?
Yeah, just not. Mm. Not for me.
I'd rather feed the stingrays than feed the alligators.
Most wildlife things. I'm just not all that.
Yeah.
I'm not into critters, bats. As we went over on the show before.
I'm not into those things. I'm just saying I could feed a stingray, I think. I don't want to try. I'm just saying.
Feed it, and then someone wants you to pet it.
Oh, yeah, no.
Right?
Yeah, no.
Like, it's just not for me.
Before we get out of here, we talked about Tom Brady all show. Did you hear the news that he didn't shake Ryan Fitzpatrick's hand after the comeback game?
Oh, yeah, I listened to that. You know, I was. It's funny. I listen, Ryan Fitzpatrick's on the call of the new Amazon Thursday night games, and he was. I was listening to a podcast, that podcast, and he was giving the interview. And I forget how much, like, his voice is just so likable.
Yes.
He's just, it doesn't match what you see. Right. And like what you, he's just got this normal guy voice and demeanor that every time you listen to him, you love. Like, it's just no wonder why he's still so popular here, even though those seasons were like some of the most crushing seasons to be a Bills fan.
Especially those
you still
hot
love
starts.
The guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well,
like,
I love
no one else is going to have that Ryan Fitzpatrick has.
No. I mean, in those seasons, I call them seasons of losing. I mean, but they were. Those seasons of losing, I think Fitzpatrick is a fan favorite and will always be welcomed back to Buffalo with open arms.
Absolutely. But it's more on him than it is anything he did on the field, I think. He's just a nice guy. Seems cool.
And he beat Brady at a time where the Bills weren't beating Brady.
One of the few.
Yeah. All right. We'll be back here Friday edition tomorrow. But don't touch that dial. David Bellavia is up for the next 4 hours here on News Radio 930 WBEN.